Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Roan Hunter. He is the co-author of Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal, the couple's roadmap of hope and healing, recovery from infidelity affairs, pornography, and sexual addiction. It's a number one international bestseller already in 8 countries. And Mr. Hunter, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Man, so glad to be here with you guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome and great to have you out, and thanks for your time. So for starters, what actually inspired you to write the book titled Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal? Let's start there.
Well, certainly it was born out of our own experience. I've been in recovery from my sexual addiction for over 32 years, and my wife as what we term, what we call a partner. And I admitted to her that I had a problem with pornography. This was in 1990. There was not a lot of help available around this back then. The actual term had been coined by Dr. Patrick Carn somewhere around the mid-80s. He wrote a book called Out of the Shadows, and that was really the first time sexual addiction kind of hit the table. And so in 1990, there was very little help available. We had a great therapist, but working with this, is in what we've learned, it takes a lot of either experience of your own experience and training. And mine was, it was more than pornography. I had crossed flesh lines. I'd gone to strip joints, massage parlors, and ultimately prostitutes, all hidden and all secret. We were very involved in our church. We were Sunday school teachers and just kind of wearing a mask and wearing it very well. I grew up just with very little parental supervision. My parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and I like to say that I was raised by wolves. My two older brothers that were 4 and 5 years older, and my mother's attitude was boys will be boys. We had porn magazines on the bedside table, and it was like no big deal. I mean, I grew up in Mississippi, and we didn't even go to church or pretend that we were church-going Christians like most people do in the South. And but I came to Christ when I was 20 years old, sophomore in college. And it was at that point I really wanted to get my act together. And I tell people part of my story, I became a good Baptist. I quit drinking, cussing, and smoking because those are kind of the benchmarks. And for a 20-year-old frat boy, that's pretty serious. But this porn thing had taken root, and it was that one was hard to stop doing. And I would, you know, every time I would go and do something, I would act out, and the shame was just great. And I read everything I could find. There wasn't much out there back then. Nobody talked about this. I thought I was the only one sitting there in the congregation that was dealing with this. And man, it was horrific because I could not stop on my own.
Well, I really appreciate your coming out and being frank with us, being open about this. Obviously, there's a lot of folks out there that have hidden secrets, and the fact that you're coming out and willing to discuss this gives us really the level of seriousness that this is, so we really appreciate it. Now, what is true intimacy, and how does betrayal impact that?
Well, we in 1990, nobody was working with what's known today as betrayal trauma, and it is very real. It mirrors post-traumatic stress disorder, It's when the person you love the most, you find out that they kind of have a hidden secret life that you don't know anything about. And it does a number on the partner. And it is betrayal. Even if it's, and you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, even if it's just porn, it's still a secret, and it's hiding behavior. And we say that there are three things that kill intimacy, true intimacy. And when we say intimacy, we're not talking about sex at all. We're talking about the emotional connection. It is the idea of knowing and being known. Intimacy originally was a spiritual term attributed to God. And that's literally what it means, knowing and being known, living transparently, living open and honest. And the three things that kill that are secrets, silence, and judgment. And so true intimacy is two people willing to come to what we call the show-up place, transparent, open, and honest, where there's no secrets, there's no silence, and there's no judgment. And that is really the goal of the process that we've kind of laid out in our book. It's what we term a movement from false intimacy to true intimacy. And by that, I certainly don't mean like perfection, that somehow we've got to have it all together. But it's just really living a life where there's honesty and transparency, and we're all broken in some way, shape, or form. And when we can join together as a couple, everything changes.
It sure does, and really appreciate your response and feedback there. Now, what is the impact of pornography in relationships for those that may not have any clue or idea the impact that it does have?
Well, the thing of it is, today we talk about the idea that pornography is so accessible. I mean, we hold in the palm of our hand with these iPhones and other types, we have access to what's estimated somewhere around 430 million porn pages that are available at the swipe left or swipe right. It's estimated, and this comes from Covenant Eyes. They provide accountability software and filtering software. It's estimated that 28,000 individuals are viewing pornography every second of the day. One out of every five searches on mobile devices is for pornography. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admit to viewing pornography at least once a month. The Barna Research Group, George Barna, they were commissioned by Josh McDowell Ministries to do research on pornography in the church. And they found that 57% of pastors and 64% of youth pastors admit to some current struggle with pornography. And so we talk about this thing as the real pandemic. We call it the porndemic. And the thing that happens with porn, there's a number of things that occur. There's a lot of distorted thinking. There's dissatisfaction, discontentment with the person that you're with. It just breeds that. It certainly creates a low view of humanity, certainly for men. Women are just seen as an object for gratification. And so it diminishes just the humanness of, you know, every one of us created in the image of God. And that's one thing that happens with pornography, is how it violates the sacred nature of our soul, because our Creator placed within each one of us the ability to create life, kind of His greatest aspect of who He is. He certainly created life, created us, and then we carry that within us, and our sexuality is the most sacred part of who we are. And when we are violating that, it's going to create turmoil, conflict within us, within our soul, because it affects every aspect of who we are as a person.
Well, we certainly appreciate your visit with us here today and the information shared so far today. We're speaking with Roan Hunter. He is the co-author of Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal, The Couple's Roadmap of Hope and Healing, Recovery from Infidelity, Affairs, Pornography, and Sexual Addiction, here on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, another question for you. How does shame contribute to betrayal?
Yeah, the thing about it, you know, shame is so insidious. And, you know, it's interesting, the very first betrayal that occurred in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament is when the angel Lucifer betrayed God, and he was cast out of heaven. That's really the first great betrayal in all of the universe. And so God himself has experienced betrayal. And then when we see that play out in human nature, I believe that the response to betrayal in relationship is kind of indicative of the fact that there is a creator, because the response to betrayal in every relationship, whether someone is a follower of Jesus or they're Muslim or they're Buddhist or they're nothing, it doesn't matter. The human response to betrayal is very consistent, and I believe it is evidence of just the fact that there is a creator, and the things that we all have to work with when this occurs are the bigger concepts of things like forgiveness and grace and reconciliation, or at least the potential of it. We would never advocate that someone, you know, stay in a marriage with someone that is not willing to do life different, to do relationship different, to be accountable, to be willing, to be open, to be honest, to hold no secrets. And that takes a whole lot of the things that we certainly associate with God. As I said, grace, forgiveness, and ultimately reconciliation. And we've seen many, many marriages, ours included, recover, not only survive infidelity, but actually thrive and become the marriage that the two people in that marriage, in that relationship, always wanted. But it takes a lot of effort and intentionality, and most of all, willingness and humility. Again, a virtue that is associated typically with God in faith.
Now, even taking that even deeper and further, what role does religion play in all this?
Well, obviously, I'm coming from kind of a, I guess, biblical worldview, or I just call it a wisdom worldview. It's just the throughout history, the things that have been written, that have been passed on and passed down for generations, are really wisdom. And certainly the Bible is the book of wisdom, and you know, it certainly doesn't cover up. The Old Testament is just full of a bunch of dysfunctional family systems, but yet God was in the midst of it. And we just believe that the concept of God, all the things that go along with faith, that are so important to be able to have a healthy relationship, or to be able to have a relationship. It's I don't know how you do a relationship without a lot of sacrifice and a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness. And that's just in any long-term relationship. We say that marriage is like, you know, God's sense of humor. He takes a cat and a dog, and he says to Peter, "Hey, Peter, hold my wine, watch this." And he throws a cat and a dog in a dryer and turns it on, and he says, "Okay, you two get along." Marriage is hard. And if you're not intentional, and if you don't do the work that's required to have a great marriage, your marriage is going to suffer because of the nature of two human beings, a man and a woman, with different backgrounds, experiences, and all their own baggage that they brought when they got on the marriage train. It was there. And it just takes a lot of intentionality in order to have the relationship that we believe God intended for all of us.
Mr. Hunter, really do appreciate your response there. And we're certainly on the same page there and totally agree with you as the Bible and its authority. And that's where you seek the utmost wisdom of this world. Now, lastly, what is one piece of advice you can give to couples dealing with betrayal?
I would say that there's a lot of hope. So often when betrayal is discovered, however, whatever it looks like, the typical answer, the typical thought process is, you know, we've got to get a divorce. And certainly that's an option. Sometimes it may be warranted. Again, if the betrayer is unrepentant, unwilling to do the work that's required, that might be the case. However, if that person is willing, even willing to be willing, there's a lot of hope, and certainly there's a lot of hurt that has to be worked through. We always say this process is messy. It takes a lot of time, a lot of tears, and a lot of talking in order to be able to work through to get to the point where reconciliation is possible. But it is certainly possible if two people are willing.
Yeah, for sure. That is the key in that situation. Roland, want to thank you for joining us here today and for your efforts in writing the book, Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal. Where can listeners get more information on yourself as well as the book?
Yeah, the book is available on Amazon. If you just plug in Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal, you can get it there. You can go to our website. Our website is simply sexgodchaos.com, and there's more information about the book, the work that we do, a lot of the media podcasts and interviews and things that we've been a part of. We also have a podcast as well. The podcast is just simply Sex, God, and Chaos, and it's available on iTunes and Spotify and any of the podcasting outlets that are out there. So that's the easiest way to find out more about us.
And another resource right there. Well, again, Mr. Hunter, all the best. Thanks for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Man, thank you. Good to be with you guys.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Roland Hunter, the co-author of Sex, God, and the Chaos of Betrayal, The Couple's Roadmap of Hope and Healing, Recovery and Infidelity Affairs, Pornography and Sexual Addiction. And for all the details, visit sexgodchaos.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.